He was aware of a tingling in his body. In a sense, it was still falling. He didn't know how he knew this, but the knowledge was as real as the cobbles just below him. If he made the wrong choice, the fall would simply continue. It had been easy so far. The last few inches would be terminally hard. "I must admit I don't like the way my life is going at the moment," he said. "It may be advantageous to find a new direction." "God!" The behaired man pulled something out of his robe. It looked like a folded abacus, but when he opened it up, parts of it vanished with little flashes of light, as if they'd moved somewhere where they could not be seen. "What are you doing?"
"Do you know what kinetic energy is?"
"No."
"It's what you have far too much of."
Soto's fingers danced on the beads, sometimes disappearing and reappearing.
"I imagine you weigh about 110 pounds, yes?"
He pocketed the little device and strolled off to a nearby cart. He did something that Newgate couldn't see and came back.
"In a few seconds you will complete your fall," he said,
reaching under him to place something on the ground.
"Try to think of it as a new start in life."
Newgate fell. He hit the ground. The air flashed purple, and the laden cart across the street jerked a foot into the air and collapsed heavily. One wheel bounced away. Soto leaned down and shook Newgate's unresisting hand.
"How do you do?" he said. "Any bruises?"
"It does hurt a bit," said the shaken Newgate.
"Maybe you're a bit heavier than you look. Allow me."
Soto grabbed Newgate under the shoulders and began to tug him off into the mists.
"Can I go and..."
"No.
But the Guild..." "You don't exist at the Guild."
"That's stupid. I'm in the Guild records."
"No, you're not. We'll see to that."
"How? You can't rewrite history."
"Bet you a dollar."
"What have I joined?"
"We're the most secret society that you can imagine."
"Really? Who are you, then?"
"The Monks of History."
"Huh? I've never heard of you."
"See? That's how good we are."
And that was how good they were. And then the time had just flown past. And now the present came back.
"Are you all right, lad?"
Lobsang opened his eyes. His arm felt as though it was being wrenched out of his body. He looked up along the length of the arm to Lutse, who was lying flat on the swaying bridge, holding him.
"What happened?" "I think maybe you were overcome with the excitement, lad, or vertigo, maybe. Just don't look down."
There was a roaring below Lobsang, like a swarm of very angry bees. Automatically, he began to turn his head.
"I said don't look down, just relax."
Lutse got to his feet. He raised Lobsang at arm's length, as though he were a feather, until the boy's sandals were over the wood of the bridge. Below, monks were running along the walkways and shouting.
"Now, keep your eyes shut, don't look down, and I'll just walk us both to the far side, all right?"
I remembered back in the city when Soto found me. I remembered," said Lobsang weakly, tottering along behind the monk.
"Only to be expected," said Lutse, "in the circumstances."
But I remember that back then I remembered about being here, you and the mandala."
"Is it not written in the sacred text? There's a lot goes on we don't know about, in my opinion," said Lutse.
"I have not yet come across that one either, sweeper," said Lobsang. He felt cooler air around him, which suggested they had reached the rock tunnel on the far side of the room.
"Sadly, in the writings they have here, you probably won't," said Lutse. "Ah, you can open your eyes now."
They walked on, with Lobsang rubbing his head to take away the strangeness of his thoughts. Behind them, the livid swirls in the wheel of colour, which had centred on the spot where Lobsang would have fallen, gradually faded and healed. According to the first scroll of When the Eternally Surprised, Wen and Clodpool reached the green valley between the towering mountains, and Wen said, "This is the place. Here there will be a temple dedicated to the folding and unfolding of time. I can see it."
"I can't, master," said Clodpool.
Wen said, "It's over there." He pointed, and his arm vanished.
"Ah," said Clodpool, "over there."
A few cherry blossoms.